Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena, and I'm honored to bring the message this morning. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 11, and we're going to keep going in this theme of peace. So if you have a Bible or there's some in the chair in front of you, this is the kind of sermon where you'll want to have it out and follow along. And we'll start by reading it together. So this is Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. So today, we are talking about peace. This passage doesn't use the word peace, but it certainly does paint a picture of quite shocking and substantial peace. When you get to the second half, you think, wow, I didn't know that that kind of peace were possible. And we live in a world where we desperately need peace. When you think about it on the global level and wars going on, when you think about it on the interpersonal level, places where there's conflicts in relationship, divisions in communities, and when you think of it on the internal level, the fear and anxiety that so many people live with these days, we need peace. And this passage assures us that peace is coming, that a greater peace than what we've known before is coming, and that that peace comes through Jesus. So let's dive into this passage. So we're going to kind of walk through it start to finish. So it starts by saying, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. So okay, friends of mine had a tree in their front yard, and I don't know why they didn't like this tree, but anyways, they wanted to get rid of the tree. So he goes out, cuts the tree down, that's the end of that, chops up the wood for firewood. The next spring, goes out, and all along where the root had been near the soil, there's these little sprouts sprouting up of that tree, here and here and here and here. So he goes out with the lawnmower, and he cuts it down again. And then this spring, he goes out, and there's all these little shoots shooting up again. He did some more stuff. He's hoping that next spring he's finally rid of this tree. We're not too sure. Sometimes when you cut down a tree, it's harder than you think to get rid of it. And that's the image that we've got here at the start of this passage. There's this tree that has been cut down and little shoots shooting up. So what is that talking about? So let's just think a minute about the history of the people of God. Centuries before this passage is written, God says to this guy, Abraham, okay, Abraham, I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to bless you, and through you, all nations of the earth will bless themselves. And Abraham's like, okay, I don't know how you're going to do that, because I don't have any kids, and God has a plan, and God makes a way, and Abraham descendants become a great nation. And then they say, okay, well, we're this great nation, but most great nations have kings. We want a king. And so God says, okay, here's this guy who can be your king. Here's Saul. He's a handsome guy, real tall, real good looking. He can be your king. So they say, okay, and he's their king, and it kind of goes terribly because, as it turns out, tall and good looking are not maybe the top qualities needed for royalty, or at least for actual leadership. Oh, no. And so then God says, okay, I'm going to give you another king. And he sees this guy, Jesse, and he goes to Jesse, and he says, Jesse, it's going to be one of your sons who's king. And God picks Jesse's son, David, and David is known as the king after God's own heart. And in the history of the people of God, the days when David was king, man, that was the best. David obeyed God, and the people loved God, and their nation was flourishing as a result. And so God gives this promise to David that his ancestors would be on the throne for a long time. Generations later, you've got this other king, Ahaz. He's the one who's currently on the throne when the passage in Isaiah gets written or spoken first. Isaiah is a prophet in Judah's royal court. So his job really is to listen to God and to tell the king and the government what God is saying and wanting them to do. And it's a bit tricky of a job for him because Ahaz, he's not really on about doing the things that God wants to do. He's doing his own thing. In 2 Kings 16, it says that Ahaz made his sons pass through the fire. He makes sacrifices on the high places. And then he goes to the temple and the place of worship, the temple, and takes the silver and gives it to the king of Assyria to pay him off so that the king of Assyria will protect him and not attack him. This is the king that's currently in leadership in Judah. And so God says, okay, I'm going to do something about this. What I want is a people who are following me. And what I've got is people who are selling my stuff from the temple in order to keep themselves safe. This is not going so well. I'm going to do something. And so he sends the prophet. And the prophet, Isaiah, gets tasked with a kind of terrible message, which is, you're going to get taken down. So this image that we have here in Isaiah chapter 11, a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse. Well, why, so Jesse, David's dad, the ancestor of the glory days of Israel, this whole thing that has been growing up, this nation of Israel, is getting cut down and getting destroyed. The whole land's going to be laid waste, and it's going to be terrible. That's the message that Isaiah's giving in chapter 6. But then here in chapter 11, the message turns hopeful. Yes, it's going to be cut down and terrible, but that's not the end. It's like the tree in my friend's front yard. You think it's the end, but it's not. It's coming back, except this time it's good. Because you think this is the end of the people of God, you think it's the end of your way of life and all that's good, but no, actually, God is growing up something from there. So we're just going to, a quick application thought before we keep going. Are there places in your life where it feels like the whole tree's gotten cut down, or is about to be cut down, or you're worried that it might get cut down? And could it be that the seeds of God's kingdom are growing up in the midst of the rotting wood, and that actually God's going to grow his kingdom in a beautiful way out of that? The way of the gospel is always, Jesus says, hey, come suffer with me, come die with me, and that's how you'll get life. Is there a place where God may be doing that in your life? So let's keep going here. So we've got this shoot that will come up from the stump of Jesse. And then it tells us the Spirit of the Lord is on him. the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, it says in verse 2. Let's just note a few things here. The spirit, we've got wisdom, we've got might, we've got knowledge, and we've got understanding. So it's this really cool picture of, like, he's smart and powerful, and this is the spirit that is on this branch, whoever the branch is. Whoever the branch is. Well, here's the great fun little part, as you may have guessed. So Isaiah starts talking about this branch who the Spirit of the Lord will rest on. In Isaiah 61, Isaiah picks up the thought of the Spirit of the Lord being on someone again. And then Jesus picks up that theme in Luke chapter 4. And he says, he's talking about Isaiah 61, but I think it references back to here. He reads the scripture and says, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus is claiming himself to be the one on whom the Spirit is on. So we've got this shoot. The Spirit is on him. The next thing about him is he delights in the fear of the Lord. Now, I think that's a funny little phrase. He delights in the fear of the Lord. Fear is not usually a thing one delights in. And we often don't like the thought of the concept of the fear of the Lord. At least I tend to think of fear as kind of a negative thing, and I think, oh, I don't know about that. But Scripture talks a lot about the fear of the Lord in a very positive way. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And Proverbs 16, verse 6 says, "By the fear of the Lord, one avoids evil." You see, rightly placed fear leads to appropriate action, right? So I am afraid of heights. And sometimes this is inappropriate fear. Like at camp, we have climbing with ropes, and the kids go up the trees, and the kid, like, you'll have these 10-year-olds that are way up in the tree, and I know that the rope is safe, and also I'm fine for them to go up in the tree. Then it's like, okay, Elena, do you want to go? And I'll be like this high off the ground. I'm like, I'm going to fall. I know that the rope is safe. I just sent all these 10-year-olds up there. It's fine. But I have this fear that in that situation is an inappropriate fear, because there is, in fact, a rope. But there's lots of ways where my fear of heights does keep me safe, keeps me from climbing way up in the trees without a rope, and my spatial awareness is kind of like, I'm the person who would fall if someone was going to, and so it keeps me safe. There's a good side to fear, because it helps us to live with wisdom, and I think that's what the scripture is saying here about the fear of the Lord. It's good for us to know that God is just and God is powerful, and to have an appropriately sized fear of God because of that, because it helps us live rightly. And for this branch who is coming, that Isaiah talks about, he delights in the fear of the Lord. He loves that he is afraid of God, because that truth about him helps him to lead rightly. He is a leader who knows that he is accountable to God and is going to use his authority well because of it. So he delights in the fear of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, he does not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor. He does not judge by what he sees with his eyes or what he hears with his ears. We live in a society that always judges by what we see with our eyes and what we hear with our ears. We're taught, oh, your experience is what defines reality. And if not your experience, then other people's experience, right? If you're booking an Uber car to get from point A to point B, And you can look and see what is the rating of this Uber driver that's coming. And I looked it up last night. The rating is determined by whatever the previous 500 people have seen with their eyes and heard with their ears and pushed into their app of what has been their experience riding in the Uber car. We always judge by what we see with our eyes and what we hear with our ears. And the problem is, sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we get it wrong. But this branch from the shoot of, or this shoot that is coming up from the stump of Jesse, he judges with righteousness. He judges with justice, and he gets it right every time because the Spirit is on him. Now, okay, guys, here's the part that's nice to skip over, but we're not going to. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. We don't really like the thought of slaying anyone. That's why it's nice to skip over. So why is this good? If we're saying, oh, this person is coming and it's going to be so good, why is this so good? Well, I think actually there's two things. One is the thing we just said about he doesn't judge with what his eyes see and his ears hear, but he judges with righteousness. He gets it right every time. If I go on a crusade to get rid of the wicked, it's going to go poorly. But I'm not going to get it right. And that's one of the problems with when the way judgment happens often in our society. But this guy, he gets it right every time. And he actually is gonna get rid of the wickedness, right? In order to get to the thing we're gonna talk about in a minute with all the situation with all the animals, he's got to get rid of the wickedness. You can't have a society that is full of peace when evil still exists. And so he's gonna do something about it. And I'm so glad that he's gonna do something about it and that I don't have to, but it is actually good that he is going to do something about it. So, this is the character of this shoot that comes from the stump of Jesse. He has the Spirit on him. He fears God and loves that. He makes decisions with justice and with righteousness, and he gets rid of evil. And when that is the person who comes, it leads to this bizarro situation where all of a sudden you've got the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them, and the cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And the infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. I love that he gives like the same example like 8 different times with like, oh, and this animal and this animal, or this one and this one. He's really trying to drive home his point of the kind of peace that comes when this new kind of ruler shows up. So let's just imagine this for a minute, this kind of new way of being. Because the first thing is, like, these animals, like, these people are farmers, they're shepherds, these animals are their livelihood, these animals are in their care. And in general, it's a bad idea. Like, if a wolf comes anywhere near where your lambs are, you're doing something to keep it away. This is not safe. And yet, here, the wolf just comes in, takes a nap, starts living like it's a lamb, and it's okay. And it works. I was looking at this with a group of teenagers last weekend, and one of them was like, oh, it's like if the bully and the victim have dinner together. Like you can feel that tension coming out of the mouth of the 16-year-old because, oh, it's not safe. It's not safe to invite the bully over for dinner because you don't know what's going to happen. And yet, it happens. And it's good. And there's peace. Common sense tells us not to do this, not to invite the bully over for dinner, not to give your baby a cobra as a toy, right? And yet, what Isaiah is getting at here is that when everyone and everything shifts, or when everyone and everything knows and submits to God's authority, all of what's common sense shifts around. All of what we've known about the world and what is safe and what is not safe gets taken out. Because they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, verse 9. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. Everyone knows God. Not just everyone, everyone and everything, and the lions and the bears and the wolves. And they start acting appropriately under God's authority too. And it changes everything. And this situation comes because of the leadership of King Jesus. Friends, we long for peace in our world. We long for peace in our hearts. And often we can think of all kinds of ways to go out and get it, ways that we can try to help people like each other more and help people understand each other more, ways that we can deal with our own fear and anxiety. And I'm not saying those things are bad. I think it's good to do those things. But I think the thing that I want us to get clear on from this passage this morning is that peace comes both in our own hearts and in our world when everything and everyone is under the submission of the Lord Jesus. That's what this passage is saying. For all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, and that's what makes this thing happen. And then our last verse, just really quickly, verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people, and the nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. It gets big. Everyone sees it and wants it because it's that good when Jesus is reigning as king. So when we think about pursuing peace on a societal level, it's not going to work. It's not a fake it till you make it kind of thing, right? It's not like, okay, maybe I'll go drug this bear cub or like something to try to, we can't create this on our own. That would be, don't try. But it is to know that when the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord, that's where true peace comes from. And on an individual level as well, we have stress, we have anxiety, and I think the invitation for us is to look, of course the invitation for us is to look to Jesus. Wow, obvious point in the sermon. The invitation for us is to look to Jesus. And to sometimes we have to look farther out on the horizon. I appreciate what Glenn was saying earlier about sometimes to have peace, you just gotta look at right here, right now in the present. Okay. Jesus is with me, I'm okay, and I can have peace. And sometimes to have peace, actually we gotta look way far, far into the future, past all of the bad things that might happen tomorrow and all of the things that I'm hoping will happen in January, but I'm not sure if they will, and will they be good if they happen or not. And look to the day when Jesus is coming back to set the world right. Because that puts all of our other challenges and problems in perspective. We can have peace knowing that Jesus is coming. We can have peace knowing that when Jesus comes and sets all things right, there will be a deeper peace in the world and in our hearts than we've known or even thought possible. So I want to just leave us with this invitation to just take a deep breath and know Jesus is coming, and when Jesus comes, it's going to be good. I'm going to pray for us. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you that you are the God of peace, that you are coming to set things righter than they have ever been before, that you lead in a way that is so good and so just. And so would you help us to fix our eyes on you? We ask this in your name, Jesus.